Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have invited us to come before you to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing to you. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give all glory to your name. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. This is a prophecy about the coming Savior. It's mentioned here that a prophet will be raised up who is like Moses, but even greater. And God's command to the people is to listen to him, listen to Jesus and his word. And notice as the Lord is preparing the people for this coming Savior, just how serious he is about teaching that word that would lead them to the Savior faithfully. He even gives a warning at the end of these verses that the prophet who preaches falsely ought to die. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, that's Moses speaking there, from among you. from your brother Israelites, listen to him. That is exactly what you asked from the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly. You said, "Do not let me hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, and do not let me see this fire again, or I will die." Then the Lord said to me, "They have done well by saying what they said. I will raise up a prophet for them among their brothers, like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them everything that I command him. Anyone who will not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. Any prophet who presumes to speak something in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks something in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for today is from Romans chapter 6. We read verses 1 through 6. Glory to you, O Lord. These words from Paul from Romans chapter 6 refer to baptism. And in our second service today in our East Bay congregation, we'll be having a baptism for a little baby boy named Jalen. Now, these verses are a reminder of our own baptism and how it connects us to Jesus, both to his death and his resurrection. We're reminded that the power of baptism is found in that very powerful word of God. What shall we say then? Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we go on living in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by this baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him to make our sinful body powerless, so that we would not continue to serve sin. Here ends our second reading. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Then they went into Capernaum. On the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who has authority and not as the experts in the law. Just then there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. It cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly throughout all the region of Galilee. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Words are powerful. How often do we think about that fact? How often do we realize that? How often are we aware of the fact that the words that we use in our lives, whether we're writing them or speaking them, are powerful? Words can build people up. Words can tear people down. Words can express love, or they can express contempt. Words can bless, or they can curse. Words can inspire and ignite hearts and minds, or they can crush hopes and dreams. Words can set amazing things in motion, or they can completely shut them down. Words can bring people together, like it does this morning, or they can tear us apart. And words are not just powerful in and of themselves. The fact that words are powerful is kind of a phenomenon, isn't it? But think of the fact that oftentimes their power and effectiveness has a great deal to do with who is speaking those words. An "I love you" spoken by someone you don't really care for doesn't have the same meaning or effectiveness as it does when it's spoken by your spouse or your child. "I promise" means a whole lot more than when it comes from someone whom we trust and know well than it does when it comes from someone who is a little less trustworthy. And it's an election year, so I'm thinking, of course, of politicians. Those promises, especially in election year, probably don't mean a whole lot. The command, "Do it, and do it now," carries a lot of authority when it's spoken by someone who's high ranking in the military or the leader of a nation. It carries less authority when it's spoken by a bossy 5-year-old. As parents, you do hope your words carry some authority with your children. As spouses, you hope your words mean something to your husband or to your wife. As a pastor, I hope that my words have some impact on all of our people, young and old, all the people I'm serving, teaching, and preaching to each week. As powerful as our words can be, no one's words carried more meaning, more authority, or more impact than the powerful words of Jesus. And it's his words that bring us together again today. His words reveal, and again, that's what the word epiphany means, the season of the church year we are celebrating. His words reveal himself to us, and they validate him as the Son of God, true God himself. The words of our text tell us that Jesus was teaching them as one who has authority, and that the people were amazed at his teaching. Why? Why were they so amazed at this authoritative teaching of Jesus? Well, it had a great deal to do with the contrast between Jesus' powerful words and the words of the religious teachers of his day. Verse 22 gives us that contrast. It says, he was teaching them as one who has authority and not as the experts in the law. The messages that these scribes, these experts in the law, were preaching were, we might say, notoriously boring. They were usually not much more than just the reciting of sentences and man-made precepts, laws passed down from rabbis from long past. Their teaching and preaching was filled with insignificant discussions about ceremonial washings, the proper length of the priestly garments, even discussions about the quarter second when the new moon or Sabbath began. Sounds like really fun sermons to listen to, doesn't it? But the worst part about the scribes' preaching and teaching wasn't just that they were boring. Their words were spiritually dead. Their teaching was legalistic to no end, and it wasn't even usually based on the law of God, but rather on the hundreds of man-made laws that the Jews had developed over the centuries. So yes, some of their teaching might have been very wise. Might have actually been some very good moral advice. But there wasn't anything in their speech that helped to heal people's souls. No wonder in his ministry, Jesus pitied the people of Israel to whom he had come to preach his word. In the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now think of the contrast on this particular Sabbath, when Jesus is there and he is invited to teach and to preach. Here was the very Word of God standing before them, preaching and teaching, the Word of God in human flesh, preaching his powerful words to the people. He himself was the ultimate authority, and he no doubt preached and taught with the same authoritative conviction. He had no need to quote past rabbis on their interpretations of man-made ceremonial or religious laws. Jesus was the author of God's law itself. Even more importantly, he was the author of the gospel itself. He was the good news about God's love and salvation found in him. And so while the scribes would prattle on about how many steps it was lawful to take on a Sabbath day and other man-made rules, Jesus came preaching words like this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And words like this from the Gospel of John: "I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Do you notice a difference there between the boring, man-made, law-driven words of the scribes and Jesus' words of peace, life, and rest in him? That is the difference between the words, the thoughts, and opinions of man and the authoritative, powerful words of Jesus, of God himself. Now let's be honest, just because Jesus preached with the authority of God's word doesn't necessarily prove that he was true God. For example, we too have been given God's authoritative and powerful words by Jesus himself, but that by no means puts us on the same par with Jesus. A few years ago, I was teaching some younger children in the church and school I was serving in Nebraska. I believe I was teaching this devotion to kindergartners. We were going through the account of Mark chapter 4, and it's the account of Jesus calming the storm on the sea. And it was snowing while we were doing our morning devotion that day, so I asked them as we were finishing up the reading of the lesson, I said, what do you think if I just stopped right now and stood up and said, stop to the snowstorm outside? What do you think is going to happen? Stop, be still, just like Jesus said when he calmed the storm that day. And the kids were all waiting with bated breath. And so I did. I stopped and I stood up and I said, be still, as I looked out the window. And do you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. My point was made. I was very grateful that the snow did not stop right then and there. Jesus, on the other hand, proved that he was the Son of God by showing that his words had power over nature in that account of Jesus calming the storm on the sea. And in our text, he does a very similar thing. He shows that he has power in his powerful words, even over Satan and his demons. Notice in our text that when Jesus casts out this unclean spirit or this demon from this man, he doesn't have to perform some elaborate incantation, doesn't call on the power of someone or something else. No, our text says, Jesus rebuked the spirit saying, be quiet, come out of him. And the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. It's also interesting to note from the text that the people who were there witnessing this incident in the synagogue seemed to understand that there was a connection between the power of Jesus preaching and the power of his words that expelled this demon. Listen again to the words of verse 27 from our text. It says, everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him. In fact, if you read this account in Luke's gospel, his recording of this incident, the people also said, what a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Yes, what a word this is. There are no words that are more powerful or more authoritative than Jesus' words. And the amazing thing is that Jesus, our God and Savior, has given us his very words. Words of power. Words of forgiveness. Words of healing. Life and salvation. We speak the words of Jesus, and therefore we can speak with his authority. Not in weakness or uncertainty like the opinions or false teachings or false religions that are made up by human beings. No, we speak about Jesus, how he lived and died to pay the punishment of hell for our sins. We also speak the very words that Jesus spoke, the very powerful words of God himself. The devil still cannot stand against the power of those words that Jesus has given to us, his church. Just like Jesus told Peter and his disciples, the gates of hell will not overpower it. Jesus' powerful words can still cast out the unclean spirits, the demons, from our lives. It can expose the lies that Satan has led us to believe and gives us the Holy Spirit and the power to overcome our sinful flesh, which Satan is constantly trying to use to make us his own, to turn us away from Jesus and to turn to anything else other than him. Through the power of God's Spirit, the Apostle James reminds us that we can resist the devil and he will flee from you. We began our sermon today by thinking about the power of words. That fact should remind each one of us to use our words carefully. As you go about your day today, as you go about your week this week, think carefully about how you are going to use your words. How are you going to wield their power? Are you going to use your words to build up, to encourage, to heal? Or are you going to use them as a weapon to tear down and destroy? Most importantly, as you go about your day and your week, remember the amazing fact that you have been reminded of again today. You have been given Jesus' powerful words. Think carefully about how today and this week you're not just going to go about using your own words, but how you're going to go about using Jesus' words. And remember to use them. Listen to them. Read them for yourself and draw from their power. And remember that there are people in your life and people you will run into this week who need to hear those words that you've drawn strength and power from. Both believer and unbeliever alike need to hear those words of Jesus. Jesus' words give hope. They give forgiveness. And they give life. No words we speak can have more power, more meaning, and more authority than Jesus' powerful words. And so we conclude our sermon today with this short prayer. We pray. Dear Jesus, help us to speak your powerful words, which you have given us today and every day. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, O Word of God Incarnate. Thank you. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we, your children, have once again enjoyed the privilege of gathering in this house of worship to hear your holy and precious word. May its message of salvation through Christ stir up our hearts to faith and love and produce the full fruits of good works in our lives. May we not forget your word which we have heard or bring shame upon it by our lips speaking against it, our hearts not believing it, or our lives not obeying it. Keep your word in the minds and hearts of our loved ones who are not present with us today, and return them soon to fellowship with us. Through the Spirit, open the Scriptures more and more to our understanding, that we might know you better, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent to save us. Dear Heavenly Father, we greatly need the comfort your word brings us. Let the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, blot our sins from your memory and present us faultless before you. Our only plea is that you forgive us for his name's sake. There is nothing that we desire more than eternal life through his merits and mediation. O Father, from your word we know that your heavenly throne is a throne of grace and that Jesus, our Savior, intercedes for us there. To that throne we come burdened with our worries, our cares, our needs, our sorrows, our troubles, and our illnesses. By your counsel and with your help, relieve us of our many burdens according to your will. We know you are a God so gracious and so merciful, so near to us when we pray, and so quick to respond to our pleas. We truly have no need to be anxious or fearful about our future. O Father, according to your own promise, bless us now and always for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with the hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness.
Please be seated. Good morning. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. And I pray you've been blessed through the message that you've heard today. A few announcements from the bulletin, both for today and also for this week. Following our service today, we'll meet in the fellowship hall for our annual meeting. We'll be reading our annual reports. The congregation is invited and encouraged to join us for that if you are able to stay. We'll read through the reports and you're able to then ask questions if need be. I do hope to stay for the entirety of the meeting, so we will start as soon as possible after the service today. We do have a baptism in our East Bay service, so I am going to try and leave on time and not be late and make the family who is awaiting me for the baptism to be too nervous about being a little bit late. So I'll do my best to stay for the entirety of the meeting, but we'll need to start as soon as possible after the service today. This week, Bible instruction class with Gary is on Tuesday at 12:15. Confirmation class with Natalie is at 4 p.m. Next Sunday, a reminder, it's the first Sunday of the month of February. We'll have our Bible study at 9 a.m., and our worship service with communion will be at 10 a.m. next Sunday. We'll also begin our choir practices next Sunday after the service. If you'd like to join us to learn our choir songs for Good Friday and Easter Sunday, yes, it's getting close to that time of year. Lent is just 2 weeks plus away. Please join us for choir next week if you'd like, and we'll sing some of our songs for Easter and Good Friday. Reminder to update the directory. If you have any contact information that needs to be changed or added to the directory, please do put it in the printed directory at the guest registry in the entryway. I believe those are all the announcements I have for today. Any other announcements? Yes, Michaela. Great. That'd be February 11th. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.